Yeah, great job, Randy. I just want to say that I had opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Pastor Todd and his wife, and wow. You know, if you talk to somebody twice, it's kind of hard to gauge, you know, what they're all about, character, all of that. But as far as any box that I would check, they really check them all. And it is a different thing to have an interim teaching pastor like this. I really think it will help us. I've heard him speak a few times just online. And, you know, he was a pastor for 24 years, so he knows what he's doing. And they're just really humble people, yet really good in their own skin, I guess, if I could say it that way. And I was just really impressed. I liked them right away. We had lunch, and I really feel good about those guys. So he and I have been in contact, and it looks like on the 24th he will speak that day. So just be ready for that, and I really think you're going to enjoy them, and I think it's a really great move. So the reason I have these wonderful people next to me is in the days of pastoral transition that we're in, there are a lot of challenges. There's already been some, but it's been good, but there's challenges. And we are actually down two pastoral staff positions. So we have Pastor Tim, and we have Kayla, who is the community life director. And Kayla did a lot of work and was wonderful. And so we're still connected with Kayla up in Roseburg. But yeah, it's a lot to cover. And so these guys are here already on staff, and they are just ready and willing to do a lot of work in these next days. So here's how I'm thinking about this, that you guys can maybe get to know these three in a way different than you know them already. Just so you can get to know them a little bit better. So if for some reason, you know, God forbid any of you have to go to the hospital, but if you did and one of these people show up, you'll be like, oh, that's Pastor Ben, that's Pastor Daniel, that's Val. And so I'm just going to kind of interview these guys, and they're going to just answer a few questions just so you guys can feel a little more comfortable that maybe you can get to know them maybe in a different way than you do already. So let's just go my far right here, Pastor Ben. And why don't you tell us, yeah. Yes. Yes. He'll be here all week. Pastor Ben. So can you just tell us what your duties are right now?
Yeah, so currently I'm the children's pastor here at Bethel Church. So I have responsibilities from, I always say birth, but they really don't start at birth. My responsibilities are at least 6 weeks after that. But birth through about fifth or sixth grade. And so all the ministries we run on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, all the date nights we run and special events. In addition, I also help with the young adults. So I'm the young adult pastor here at Bethel as well. And so we just had a bowling night last night, which was super fun. And we do a bunch of events throughout the year. So if you are a young adult looking to connect, please come find me because we'd love to get you involved in what we're doing. And then really lastly, I've co-pastor with Pastor Tim, who is not here anymore, the missions here at Bethel Church. So our deal was I would create teams and take those teams out on missions trips, and he would handle some of the speakers and things that come in. So I might have a shifting role in that, but really you could think of me as the missions pastor here at Bethel Church, and certainly open to hearing stories if you have any about what's going on in the world, and love hearing about new things and missionaries. And so those are some of the things I do here at Bethel.
All right. All right, Pastor Daniel. kind of new with us. Been here a little while. Why don't you fill us in on your ministry?
Yeah, sure. So again, my name is Pastor Daniel. Moved here from Texas a couple months ago. I guess 7 months ago now at this point. So that's it's a lot longer than I thought. Yeah,
wow.
But I say time is flying. Yeah. So what my responsibilities really are with youth ministries is really facilitating junior high and high school during Wednesdays and kind of breaking them up and teaching them about God and kind of impacting them, getting them ready for life outside of the coverage of parents after going to college and moving forward and things like that. So a lot of it is facilitating that on Sundays and on Wednesdays, because we do have classes both Sundays and Wednesdays. And so a lot of that is me facilitating events that we have, putting together, working with other churches, working with other youth pastors, just kind of connecting the students that kind of go to the same schools, teaching them how to talk to each other at school and love God through school and love God through all of the things that are happening in their life, because it's such a pivotal point in their life for God to move, And so teaching them how to facilitate what the world's bringing in and all of the influences coming in, and being able to show them that God is bigger than all of those things, showing them that God connects them, that God can move in their life still, even though when they feel like they're young, God is still moving in their life. And he has a purpose for them, and the purpose that he has for them is going to be bigger than, honestly, anything that they can do, right? And that's really what we're trying to teach the students, and that's a lot of what we've been doing. I have a great team that helps me work on this, and then just pouring into the students, and Wednesdays are very small group oriented to build the relationship, to get deep down into their spiritual life, and that's kind of what I would like to say my job is here at Bethel, is to really get these students ready for the next step in their life.
Awesome. Great. Great. Yeah. All right, Val. Val, you have known her as the... Yeah. Oh, you're so popular. Well, I'll just let you talk. Go ahead. Okay, let me just say this. Val, over the last months, her role has really increased. I'll let you tell about that. So, yeah.
I originally came on staff at Bethel as the creative arts director because of some transitions happening with the other pastors. That became a need that was here. And so in that area, I oversee our video team and announcements. I oversee our productions when we do Christmas plays, Easter dramas, the rock opera we did over the course of a couple of years. That sort of thing kind of comes all under that umbrella. And then actually beginning of 2020, Assemblies of God World Missions tweeted this thing that said, "Do you realize the internet is the biggest mission field there is?" And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to learn some things. And, God's timing is always great because 6 months later, COVID hit and shut everything down. And so in that process, I then actually ended up taking on our social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't remember where else we are at the moment, but it's okay. And so that kind of getting us outside our own walls, communication is become part of the responsibilities I hold as well. I actually like it most days until the computers start misbehaving, and then I have a couple people I go whine to. And Steve definitely deserves a shout out in that category. He leaves the most beautiful charts and things. And then the third area I am currently actually kind of overseeing is the online pastor role that when Pastor BJ went to Roseburg, obviously is very busy with what he's doing there. We're excited to see that happen and launch this fall. But that also is something that is sitting on my desk at the moment. Now I'll throw this little caveat in. I am actually part-time here. I'm bivocational is the fancy word you hear, but I'm also a freelance writer, editor, and have things that happen. So sometimes trying to catch me is a little bit like playing whack-a-mole. But don't give up. I'm around, okay?
All right. Thank you, Val. Yes, and she mentioned Steve. Steve Smale is also on staff as our audio-video director. And Steve Smale, down from heaven. You couldn't lay out everything that you would need in today's world with an audio video director who loves God and does things all for the right reasons. You couldn't pick somebody, and he's just amazing. There's so many things I could say. Steve just blows me away. So he's back there, and he's on our staff. And let's give him a hand. Yeah. He and Val have so much to do with what you see up here and lighting and that's all the video stuff. So all the online, it's all professional that it is. It's all about communication, sharing the gospel. So I did want to also mention that we have some incredible office staff people. And Chrissy Prince, Susan Grison, and Lynn Bransom, who is the office manager and has been for a long time, and she's also been my assistant for 19 years. I don't think I could do what I do if it wasn't for Lynn. But anyway, we have the best office staff. Now, if you know me very well, you know that I don't do very well with kind of saying things because I'm supposed to say them. I like to be sincere, and I am being very sincere. You have the best staff around, including these guys and the office staff. So I just want you to know that. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to ask you guys another question here. All right. You ready for this? Here we go. Here we go. It's like a game show almost. So what are some recreational things that you enjoy doing outside of your duties here at Bethel? Anything? Let's get to know Pastor Ben a little bit. Okay.
Reading the Bible.
Oh.
And worshiping Jesus, which I do find I connect most with Jesus out in nature. So my family loves to hike. We love to go camping, go to parks. We have met a lot of our good friends at parks, and we love to be outside. I love to read. I love to run. It is a real hobby, not like a competitive sport thing, but I do enjoy running as well.
Awesome, thanks, Pastor Daniel. What do you like to do?
Sounds cheesy enough, but one of my best friends is my wife. I love hanging out with her. We hang out all the time. We were friends for so long before we even started dating and getting married, so that was also something that I love to do. But something that her and this is kind of how we started dating, was coffee shops. I'm a huge coffee fanatic. I love coffee. I love everything about coffee. I love the way it's made. I love the way it tastes. I love everything about coffee. I kid you not. I say I'm pretty knowledgeable. My wife calls me a coffee snob. I say, no. I just like the coffee the way that I like it. And that's just kind of how I leave it at that. Going to coffee shops is fun. The community is fun. I've met a lot of people at coffee shops and have a lot of opportunities to make friends there and to be able to talk coffee, you know. And again, it's super exciting. And we like cycling. My wife and I do. Currently, since we've been here, my bike cannot handle the hills because of Texas is very flat. So I got a single speed. And then when we got here, you're taking a single speed up a hill, it doesn't work too well. So currently, I'm chilling, and I'll walk everywhere from now on. But other than that, those are the things that I really enjoy doing.
Awesome. Great.
One of the things that, and I also grew up in a very flat place. I grew up in the Canadian prairies, and so the scenery around here just kind of delights me still after 20 years. I come around a corner and go, look, there's a view. And so one of the things that Randy and I enjoy doing together actually is hiking. Now, I hike with a camera so that when I get puffed, I could have a reason to stop. Oh, look at the flower right there. I need to get a picture of. Because I am not an athlete. However, I do enjoy being in the outdoors. And actually, the thing we took up last summer that was new to us and worked really well with the heel injury I had was we took up kayaking. And so we actually do the double, you know, the one they call the divorce boat. We've survived it so far. It's been a fantastic way to just see the area from a different angle. And so now you'll see permanent carriers on the top of my car because he won't put them on his fancy sports car. And it's been great. We really enjoy doing that. If you give me really my sort of druthers, I do obviously like to, I mean, I'm an artist as well, so I like to paint and that kind of thing. But I will curl up with a book and a blanket anytime you let me. And so, and actually, I'm not a coffee drinker. Am I allowed to be at Bethel without being a coffee drinker? However, I do enjoy coffee shops and the chance just to get to sit down and talk to people, and have done some life that way over the years as well. And I do know a drink on every coffee menu in town that I actually can manage. So you say you want to do coffee, I'll go fantastic as long as it doesn't actually involve coffee. So.
All right. Thank you. Okay, one more question. And that is, this. So is there something to do with pastoral ministries that you'd like to share that's maybe outside of what you normally do or that many in the congregation might not know about you, Pastor Ben?
So believe it or not, I am a credentialed pastor with the Assemblies of God, and that means I can do weddings. I have done funerals. I had a counseling appointment this morning with a child. I do premarital counseling. One of the things I've been dabbling in a lot recently here at Bethel, because Kayla ditched us, and I hope you're watching, Kayla. Who wants to live in Roseburg? Nobody. I mean, I guess when God calls you, you got to go. But I've been really looking and searching our congregation for small group leaders and trying to connect people there. It's not like an official part of what I've been doing at Bethel, but if you are at all interested in being a part of a life group or starting a life group, I would love to connect you, help train you, get you all the resources you need, and get up under you so that you can really do awesome, because we have a real need for connection here at Bethel as we try to walk with each other. And so if you are interested, please come find me.
Great, great, awesome. Pastor Daniel.
Well, I graduated from a four-year university down in Texas, an Assemblies of God university, and my degree title is Pastoral Ministries with an Emphasis of Youth Ministries. So I have gone through so many classes, so many hours of pastoral care, pastoral ministry duties. I've had to write papers upon papers on how to do it. I think I counted like a couple days ago, it was like 6 internships with different pastors, and shadowed them for months at a time during their processes and what they do and how they act. And they allowed me to, towards the end for the final of the internship, I was to do one of those things that I was shadowing them about, whether that was hospital visits, whether that was leading prayer, whether that was leading a small group, whether that was, you name it, I've done it. I've done 2 weddings, and I just did a memorial service my first time not too long ago. And so I am looking to learn, and I am looking to grow. But again, I have had so much, I say, training, and God has led me through all of it, and I believe God has definitely called me to do, you know, what he's called me to do as a youth pastor, as a pastoral staff, as pastoral care, as pastoral, whatever it is. I believe that God has called me for a reason, and I'm always looking awesome. For new places to grow, new places to continue to grow, and that's just kind of...
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Val, how about you?
Well, I think most of you know this by now, and actually I think this is true of you too, right? I'm a preacher's kid. And so, like, my first Sunday in church, I slept in a box under the pew because my dad was the preacher and my mom was the pianist. And so I've just done a lot of church, which you can do a lot of church and not really get anything from it. I've done a lot of church. And so I, like, helped in my first Sunday school class when I was 9 years old and pretty much have been serving at some capacity in a church ever since then. And so the fun part for me is that's involved a lot of things. I've led Bible studies. I've, you know, taught in services. I have... wiped some bottoms. I have, and little ones, so please. It's been a really neat opportunity. And so I'm not a credentialed pastor. Can we actually edit that from the video? Never mind, that's my job. I'll take care of that. That I am actually, and you guys can pray for me for this, please, and I actually mean this, end of May, I write the credential exam to get my AOG ministry credentials. And thank you. I'll tell you, that was another one of those call of God Thursdays where I went, oh, stink, I'm going to have to learn some things. And I do actually have 2 undergraduate degrees. I have a Bachelor of Theology with a major in Biblical Studies, and then I have a degree in Linguistics, which is how languages is put together. I was called to missions when I was 11. And so that kind of guided every decision I made, you know, until God kind of closed one door, opened the next one. But it has led me to some amazing places. It's led me here. And I have been able to kind of try all ways to just share Jesus. And so, I sit and talk with people. I do whatever kind of the moment calls for and do my best in that moment. And so if there's a way that I can be a help to you, I'm going to say ladies especially, not that these aren't wonderful guys, they're guys. And sometimes it just helps to have a gal to talk to. True. And so if you need that, I'm here, let me know, and I will do my absolute best for you.
All right. Hey, let's give these guys a hand, all right? Thank you. Yeah, and in the next coming weeks and months, as you can tell, these guys are going to need prayer. And I would just encourage you, thank you, Mike, I would encourage you to keep them on your prayer list and their families. Some of you out there, I know, have been pastors. Some of you have done pastoral things. And as a pastor, sometimes it's the long hours, but even when there's not long hours, there's always that burden of responsibility, working with wonderful people, but different people, because everybody's different. And so just keep them in your prayers, and sometimes it can be hard on a family as well. So they're awesome. Everything I have asked of these guys that were up here, they're like, oh, yeah, you bet. And as Pastor Daniel still knew from Texas, yes, sir. Yes, sir, he says. Not used to that, but we might break him of that one of these days. So anyway, yeah, keep them in your prayers. I do want to share a brief word with you this morning. And I want to talk just a little bit about this next weekend. And today is Palm Sunday, as you know, and I'm going to read a portion of scripture here in a minute. This next weekend is going to be Easter weekend, and this Friday we are having a night of worship. And what has been our custom is it's a little bit different night of worship in that we have a special time of communion, and we'll have communion. There'll be a neat area set up down here, and kind of taking us back to the time when Jesus was with his disciples. But we'll have a neat time of communion this Friday. So that's going to be at 7 o'clock. I'd love if all you guys could be there, and that we can just join together as a church family. Invite some people, if you know, definitely from outside of our congregation. And we're going to worship the Lord with all we've got. And then we're going to have an intimate time with communion. So that's this Friday at 7 o'clock. All right. This is entitled Moving Forward Together. And so I think this is where we are. I loved what Randy shared. It's totally true that this period of time, in my mind, can be our best period of time. And I'm going to tell you why here in a second. And I'm talking about as a church, okay? And so, as I mentioned, this Sunday is what is known as Palm Sunday. And it comes from this portion of Scripture. It's in all of the Gospels, this portion of Scripture. But I'm going to take it from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. So I'm going to read through it. If you want to look through it with your Bible, feel free. But I'm not going to have it on the screen because it's a lot of scripture. So here we go. And this is the triumphal entry, okay? And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. We're talking about Jesus. And when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away, went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just ask that you would anoint your word this morning And Lord, that these words will get stamped on our heart and in our minds as the Holy Spirit is in this place and ministers to us. Lord, we are open to what you have to say through your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. So this was in fulfillment of another scripture, a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. We will put this on the screen. It's, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, the disciples in the city, they were ecstatic because Jesus was coming into their great city of Jerusalem, and they were ready to crown him their king. The only problem was that Jesus was not the kind of king that they were looking for, okay? And they wanted a king to defeat the Romans who had oppressed them. And they were right in that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who was prophesied about and was to come. And he had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead. And they, okay, this was very recent. And so, I mean, this was a heightened expectation that they had. And as is often the case with we humans, we get our own idea of what God is doing and how he's going to do it. Don't we just tend to try to guess? It's like, oh, I see God doing this. This means he's going to do it this way or that way. And all I know is, as long as I have lived, whenever I guess a certain thing, that's not going to be it because it never is. It's never what I think. And this was the same for these people. They thought a certain thing, okay? And so, Jesus did fulfill the scriptures as they were looking for. He came in riding on a donkey, okay? But he was after the hearts of men, and the Jews were about to reject this kind of king. And as we know, and we'll celebrate in a great, great way next week. Say that fast. Great way next week. Yes. The greatest moment in the history of mankind was about to happen. But that's not what they were looking for. That's not how they thought it would happen. Okay? It just didn't look like anything anyone had expected. But it's going to be for the souls of all men, not just for a temporary victory over the Romans, because that's how we are. And I'm sure that they suffered. I'm sure it was all very, very real. There are places in the world today that are being oppressed, as we know. And as humans, we just want, you know, relief for these people. And I know we are all that way with many of the things that are happening in the world. And you know, the big news is Ukraine, and it's a very, very difficult situation, hard to even imagine. There's been wars in other parts of the world that we don't hear as much about. Many things in Africa and different things that I'm aware of. So these things happen all the time. It's just a very, very difficult thing, and we want there to be relief, and we should. And that's what these people wanted. They wanted to be released from the Romans and their oppression, okay? God had something else in mind, or at least he wanted to do it in a different way, okay? So here we are today. Pastor Tim and Janice, they gave us 24 years of fruitful and consistent ministry, and now they are gone. Hit me a couple weeks ago. Pastor Tim's last day in office, and I went, wow, that's it. He's not coming back. Yeah, so they're gone. And we are, in some ways, unsure of our future as a church, okay, in some ways. And but I need to say, as you know, that God is not unsure. right? He's not unsure. You know, we can feel that way, but that's a feeling. It really is. And we put our trust in God, as you know. But God is not unsure, and he's working. God is working even as we're meeting here today in all of our lives. We don't know everything that he is doing, but God is working. And though we may not understand all things, and do we ever understand all things? I don't know about you that are my age. I'm 60 years old. Now, it seems like as each year goes by, I know less than I did before. I'm sure of less things except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am still more convinced than ever of that Jesus Christ is alive today, as alive as he was 2,000 years ago. And we're going to hear more about that next week. But there's just so many things in this life. You know, when you're young, there's things that you're sure of. And then, and so you do it, and you get people to follow you. That's what I did. And it was all good, overall. But as time goes by, I look back and I go, well, it wasn't totally like you thought it was. It wasn't, everything you thought wasn't just like this. No, there's a bigger picture, you know. But I didn't see it at the time. That's what happens when you're young. And that's why you get so much done. You don't think about all the things the way they really are. But yeah, but anyway, that's being very young, and that's why so many young people accomplish so many things. But hey, we're doing it today, right? 60 years, no problem. Here we go. The Spirit of God is going to use us. He's going to unite us, and he's going to lead us as we trust in him and we follow his instructions. And so, one thing I was thinking about and just sharing briefly this morning, I'm going to kind of rip through some of these one and others that I mentioned a few weeks ago, and there are a lot more than I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to go through them very quickly, okay? And if we do these things, if we do these one and others that are in the Bible, and that's each and every one of us, then our church is going to keep moving forward together, okay, as a united team, okay? And that's the goal. And we're going to continue to see people saved, people discipled, and more and more and more. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. So here we go. Number one is to pray for one another. This is probably the most important one. James 5:16 is one scripture, and we're not going to go through all of these scriptures. I'm going to go through this quickly, but I just want to ask you guys, and just as a request, please pray for our leaders, pray for the board, pray for the pastoral search committee, pray for the pastors and directors, the rest of the staff, and other lay leaders that many of you are out there. Many of them are downstairs in children's ministries. Pray for our pastor who is to come, okay? And pray for our new interim teaching pastor, Pastor Todd and his wife, Chris. They're awesome people, but they're going to need prayer so that he hears from the Lord and has messages, and that's his heart, you know, has messages that are for our church. I think you're going to like him. I really do. He probably won't like me saying this, but he sort of reminds me of Pastor Tim in a little bit. Not that he doesn't like Pastor Tim. I'm sure he doesn't want to be compared to the guy that was just here, but he's just a guy. He's just a down-to-earth guy, and that's what I like about him. And so prayer is crucial, but if that's all we do, as you know, if all we do is pray, then we're not going to be where God wants us to be. So we're going to keep going here. And so these are more of the action kinds of things outside of prayer. So obviously, love one another from John 13:34. This command occurs at least 16 times. And so many of these things that I'm going to share all work together. So this is for each one of us, okay? Number three is be devoted to one another. You know, and part of being devoted is loyalty. loyalty to one another, okay? And loving and being loyal to one another, not just to your close friends, but to our church, okay, as a family. All right, number four is to build up one another. Now, there are several things I'm going to share that have to do with building one another up. And these are all things that are not about us. They're about us getting our minds off of me and thinking about somebody else, okay? Now, we have an awesome church that does that, but in this next period of time, it's going to be so important for us to do this when there's things we don't understand, okay? We've got to think about other people. So here we go. Part of building up one another is caring for one another. Caring for one another. Serving one another. Bearing one another's burdens. These all are about caring. These are all about... so many of you do this, but when somebody's hurting, you're caring, you're helping to lift them up, you're going to encourage them, which is another one, encouraging one another. So we're looking to care for people and to pray for them and maybe bring a meal to somebody who's been sick. And there's been all kinds of meals. We kind of had and this is how almost these things go. We had kind of a flurry about a month ago of many people that were in hospital or sick, and I can't tell you how many meals went out. So many meals. Our worship team, they just were awesome in that time, and they did all kinds of meals. And so good on them. So we're going to keep going here. Forgive one another. Forgive one another. And this is going to be crucial. And if I could have the worship team come on up right now, that'd be great. Just be ready to go. And forgiving one another. I always say forgive easily, because if you don't forgive easily, then the one that is hurt is you. So especially if it's pretty minor stuff, guys, somebody might say something to you that's maybe hurtful. Maybe somebody does something that's a little hurtful, maybe leaves you out, whatever it is. But if it's, that's just life. That's just life. That happens. We're humans. We're human beings. And in those things, I just encourage you, forgive easily. You know, I've known people, and I know you have too, who did not forgive easily in their life, and they became bitter. Christian people. So they become bitter. It can be things we do in church too, you don't like the way we do this, don't like the way we do that. We spoke too long there. We didn't do enough here. You know what? Ugh. Good night, Irene. That is... Forgive. Forgive easily, okay? Forgive easily. All right. I want to encourage you to do that, and I know you will. And be patient with one another. That's another thing. It goes along with forgiving. And just being patient. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Encourage one another. Exhort. So there are times to challenge. There are times like that. But do that lovingly, prayerfully, and we're going to do great. Okay? Stir up, provoke, or stimulate one another to love and good works. That's what we're about. We're going to do that together. We're going to encourage other people to do good things. Show hospitality to one another. Some of you really have this gift, inviting people to your home, being very hospitable. I thank you for that. We thank you for that. It's so great when somebody's new that they get invited to lunch or invited over, whatever it might be. Somebody's been through a tough time. You have them over to your house. It's going to be a great way for us to get through this time in a great way. And the last two are things not to do, okay? And that is stop passing judgment on one another, okay? Now, again, in this time, we're going to need to be loving. And there's going to be times when you don't know everything, okay? I want to tell you that the board, I've been very impressed with our board. I've been in the ministry for a long time and worked with different boards. They've done an outstanding job. You've got a group of people that are in it for the right reasons. They're all sincere, as far as I can tell, and they're all down-to-earth people, and they're just trying to do the right thing, okay? They are. They're just trying to do the right thing, and it takes extra time for them. So have grace. You may not know everything. They and we are trying to give as much information to you as we can as this process goes along. So, yeah, it's going to be easy to disagree with things or whatever, and just know the alternative is pray. Pray, just love. Just love them to death, you know. Love them with kindness, and it's a great thing. And the last one is don't grumble against each other. And, something that we need to stay away from in these days. It's not worth it. Wow. You know, when you really start getting down to it, this life is so short. It's so short. Why would we waste time doing that? You know? And I'm going to just give you permission. If you hear somebody complaining about somebody else, you don't have to be rude, but just say, look, that's not what we do here. This is Bethel Church, you know. This is Bethel. We don't do that here. We don't tear other people down, okay? And it's, you know, if you need to help somebody, okay. But, we're going to speak well of other people. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. So to sum it all up, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, right? So how would you want other people to treat you? Through all of these one another's, you might think, well, that's a lot of them. How do I do them all? Well, how would you want people to treat you? You know, that's what Jesus is saying. You would want to be treated with honor, with respect, right? You would want people to love you where you were. And so, yeah, love your neighbor. Love everybody else here as yourself. Okay? Yeah. You want to be treated with kindness. So if we pray and do these one another's, there's no limit to what God can do. And, you know, some people along this trail, along this path might say to you, you know, maybe somebody from another church, wow, we were through a pastoral transition. It was really tough. Well, there's challenges, yeah. There are challenges. A lot of churches aren't healthy. And when this happens, they have to work through that. Okay? We have a healthy church. Can you say amen? Yeah, Pastor Jim and Janice left us with a great foundation. We have a healthy church. We all go through struggles, but we're a healthy church. So when I'll just say it this way. When Pastor Jim was going to leave for, I don't know, around 4 months to take a sabbatical several years ago, I sought some counsel from an outside pastor. And he said to me, he goes, first thing I want to say to you is it's going to be tough. And he said, you're going to, that's what he said. He goes, so your goal is just to get everybody there in one piece by the time the pastor comes back. That's what he said to me. And I said, I stopped him in mid-sentence. I said, whoa. I go, I don't think you know me very well. And I don't think you know my church. I said, it's not only going to be good, it's going to be great. And we're gonna work together. It's gonna be a fantastic thing. And it was. Yeah. Amen. And it was because of you. It was because of you and the incredible people that you are. And so that's what it's gonna be. There's gonna be challenges along the way. We've already experienced some, but there's no reason why we as Bethel Church can't move forward together as a team and make a difference. Now think about it. All of us here, you might think, well, I've heard that before. I'll tell you what I'm going to say. You can make a difference in somebody's life just by giving them an encouraging word. You can make a difference in someone's life by just caring about them. Just you. Each person does that just for one person. Think of all the people you're reaching. Think of all the people you're reaching. So it's not going to be 10, 20, 50, 100. It's going to be hundreds of people you're going to be ministering to just by being a Christ follower. You don't have to know all the answers. Just be you. Just be who God has created you to be, and encourage people when you get here. It's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to see all the people that are going to be ministered to. So when these people, the Jews, who laid down the palm branches before Jesus, suddenly in a week's time saw him being beaten, saw him being whipped, and carrying his cross, they thought all was lost, okay? And many were angry. But most of them weren't seeing what was really happening. And it didn't look like they thought, but it was the greatest moment. They were on the cusp of the greatest moment in the history of mankind. Yet because it didn't look like they thought, and it wasn't for them going to be what they thought was going to be a good thing, they never saw it. Matter of fact, many of them had a part in having Jesus Christ crucified. So for us, instead of a time of worry, instead of a time of consternation, anxiety, this is a time to rejoice. Why is it a time to rejoice? Because Pastor Tim and Janice laid a foundation for us over 24 years. Right? A great foundation. And the pastors before them, some are sitting in this very room. What a foundation we've had. Oh, we are so primed for harvest this church. Okay? Are you in? Are you with me? Yeah. All right. Great. So let's move forward together. We're going to stand up and sing one more song. And awesome.